Good evening. I invite you at this point to turn with me to Jonah and chapter 1. Pastor has been doing a series in the evening in predestination or on predestination and evangelism. And today we take a break from that series, but we consider a passage depicting the subject that he has been handling. And this is the story of Jonah. And we read together from verse 17 of chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 2 and verse 10. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. The book of Jonah is part of the minor prophets of the Bible. This book is slightly different from other books in this category because it does not contain promises. Instead, what we see here is a large narrative, a record of something negative between God and his prophet. It contains this story of this prophet Jonah, who we will see that he disobeyed God, even as he was given orders, given that command. And as we study this passage, I'd like to say that the title of the message is simply Jonah's prayer. Jonah is sometimes referred to as the reluctant missionary. And as we consider this particular passage, we will see that indeed he was a reluctant missionary because he did not obey the Lord in going to spread God's word. The book draws attention to the grace of God and also to Jonah's folly. Therefore, I must say that this is a very important book for our season, this season of evangelism. This is an important part of the scriptures regarding this work of evangelism. Because in evangelism, we are preaching to the lost, just like Jonah was given this task to go and preach to the lost. During evangelism, we are going out there to declare the grace of God. We see a man who did the opposite. Chapter 2 is a song of deliverance. Chapter 2 of Jonah contains a vibrant lyric prayer. It is very similar to some of those prayers that you find in Psalms. I would like to draw your attention to this prayer then, with a view of encouraging you to forge ahead in the work of evangelism. But I would like to also propose that it may come to us as a rebuke. But this particular passage is an example for us to consider not to follow the wrong example of Jonah, but to be obedient and spread God's word. It is to help us avoid Jonah's negative example and to be messengers of God's mercy and judgment to the nations. And as we consider Jonah's prayer, the first thing that I'd like us to look at is Jonah's place of prayer. As we consider what sort of a prayer it was and the lessons that we draw from there, it is also important for us to look at the place of prayer. Verse 17 of chapter 1. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Where was he offering this prayer from? He was offering it from the belly of the fish. This is according to verse 17, but we can also read in between lines and see from his prayer that he was indeed in the belly of the fish. It is very important for us to begin from here as we consider the place of prayer, the belly of the fish. There are some who may be disputing or who may have doubts to say, was it really true that he was in the belly of the fish? Without wasting much of your time, you do not vomit what is in your mouth. We are told in chapter 2 and verse 10 that the fish vomited Jonah onto dry land. You spit what is in your mouth. You vomit what has already gone down. And Jonah, for him to be vomited out, it means indeed he was in the belly of the fish. He was literally inside the stomach of the fish. How did he find himself in this place? In the belly of the fish. Chapter 1 and verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. It all started from here. After the Lord commands him to go to Nineveh, to go and preach God's word, he decides to go somewhere else. He decides not just to go in the opposite direction of Nineveh, he decides to go away from the presence of the Lord. And for some reason, this is strange because he is a prophet of God. He is a messenger, a mouthpiece of God, so to speak. He finds himself in this place because in the first place, he was disobedient to God. Embarking on a journey, opposing God's will, he narrowed God's deliverance and mercy to his life alone. What is happening here? The Lord tells him, those people need the gospel. They are wicked. Go and preach to them. He decides, no, they deserve to be punished. Here is an evangelist who does not preach mercy, but actually says, no, they deserve to be punished. He finds himself in this place because of his disobedience, and his disobedience symbolizes or implies the following. He was thinking God was not doing the right thing. He thought these people deserved to be punished, and they never deserved God's mercy. To some extent, he's saying to God, I know better than you. This man's behavior suggests that he was thinking that he was at liberty to do whatever he wanted to do rather than following God's will. By implication, this man placed himself above God. So he finds himself in this place because of such an attitude. But secondly, how does he find himself in this place? Flip side, on the other side of the story, we see in verse 17 of chapter 1, and we can comfortably say that because the Lord placed him there, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. Ultimately, he is in this particular place because the Lord has placed him there. It wasn't by accident, but by God's providential working. When that storm came and the men were panicking, then it was actually established that he is the one who was at fault and he was going to cause others to die, and they threw him out of the boat. The Lord had prepared that fish to swallow him. Beloved friends, He prayed from the belly of the fish. He found himself there because of his disobedience, but ultimately because the Lord placed him there. But what sort of a place was this where he offers this prayer that we are going to consider, a prayer that depicts, you know, someone's life, someone who is an evangelist, and then he is in this particular position where he is now in a fix, as it were. He was in a place, we can say, a prepared place. So what sort of a place was this? It was a prepared place. We say it was a prepared place because of verse 17. God prepared it for him. What sort of a place was this? It was a place of affliction. Notice with me in verse 2 of chapter 2. I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. As we consider this man and where he was praying for from, it was a place of affliction, which means it was a place where he was actually in trouble. He was in a place where he was suffering. But again, notice with me that it was a place of isolation. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried, and you heard my voice. Verse 3, you cast me into the deep, into the heart of seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. This man was separated. And in adding to the fact that it was a place of isolation, we can say that it was a place of solitude. Lonely place. Place where he's separated from family, friends, and society. Verse 5, the waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. It was a place of restriction. He had no freedom. Remember, it is all coming from the point of he's been taught to go and deliver God's word, and he decides to do otherwise. Now he is in this place. We can also say that although there are all these negatives about this place, affliction, isolation, restriction, we cannot carefully that it was a place of preparation. In verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I vowed. Salvation is to the Lord. These are words of a man who is now resolved that is going to do the opposite of what he was doing, in that he is now obedient, he is resolved, he is going to preach the word of God to these people. Beloved friends and brethren, God placed him in this place to enable him to come back to his senses. The place enabled him to face the Lord once again in his rightful mind. He was now in a place where it was just between him and his God. There were no distractions. There were no third parties. It was just Jonah and his God. Beloved friends, the place from which he is praying holds a significant part and lesson for us today regarding our attitude when it comes to evangelism. This man was on a mission to do the opposite of what God commanded him to do. But are you perhaps seated here this evening defying the will of God? Are you like Jonah who is on the run? Are you that person who knows that you ought to evangelize and you simply cannot do that? Is this behavior and mentality of Jonah describing you? Year in, year out, we have got evangelism, but you are simply not part of it. There is a great commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. And this is a commission to all those who are God's children. But you are like Jonah. When you look at the sinners, in your mind you just say, they need to be punished. And perhaps one of the reasons why you are not involved in evangelism is simply because you are upset with these people who sin. And therefore you want them to face their punishment. And therefore you have decided to jump on this bus, the train, the plane, going in the opposite direction. When things regarding evangelism are mentioned in the pulpit, you simply zone out. You are not involved. You are already on your journey like this man called Jonah. Beloved, God has the ability to put you in the belly of a fish to bring you back to your senses. Sometimes God may do certain things of this nature, to show us that we are in the wrong. And the picture that we have here is that of someone who is more powerful. And then they lean on this person who is weak, and they are just leaning on them against the wall, and they don't mean harm. They can beat you up, but they are just leaning against you just to show you that they are more powerful. And this is the kind of picture that I see here. It is the Lord Himself, the Almighty, showing him that in as much as you are doing these things, I can bring you back to do my work. Beloved friend, are you a potential evangelist on the run? Perhaps it's not just about evangelism. Maybe you are a potential deacon on the run, potential elder on the run, potential Sunday school teacher on the run. Beloved friend, this was the place of prayer. But we must move on and quickly consider Jonah's pertinent prayer. The prayer here begins from verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Once you look at this prayer, beloved brethren, it is pertinent because it is clear, it is decisive, it is relevant to Jonah's situation. What was the nature of this prayer? It was a prayer of acknowledgement before God. He prayed to his God, the God he was running away from, the God he thought was not being reasonable by asking him to go and preach to these people. And he now acknowledges him. In verse 4, we see further on this man acknowledging God. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Just the beginning of the prayer, it shows that the situation in which this man found himself changed him a lot. Not only do we see that it was a prayer of acknowledgement, it was a prayer of calling upon God. He did not just acknowledge, he truly called upon God. And the words, I cried out to the Lord, are actually pointing to this fact, calling upon God earnestly. It was a prayer of turning into God's direction once again. In other words, the prayer is simply giving us a picture of a man who has realized that he was in the wrong by refusing to go and evangelize. He says in verse 4, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Remember, decided to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now he is focusing on the Lord. It was a prayer of praise to the Lord. As we see in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Beloved friends, this prayer, according to verse 8, can also be called a prayer of confession. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Prayer of confession of his sin and foolishness. As I considered something else rather than you, God, I do realize that this is foolishness. Verse 9. But I will sacrifice to you with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. This, beloved friends and brethren, is a prayer of agreement with the Lord. He is now in agreement with the Lord, and he has seen that salvation belongs to God, and he is simply a tool in the hands of God. And this is now the right mentality for him as a prophet, as an evangelist, to possess. Salvation belongs to God. Therefore, as a minister of the word, as an evangelist, I will do just what I've been called upon to do, and this is to spread the gospel. Yes, he calls men inwardly, but there is this outward call. Even the Lord Jesus Christ knew that yes, there are those that he called, but this did not deter him from preaching the word, sounding the call wherever he went. Beloved brethren, this is the nature of his prayer. This prayer can be said to be honest. It's an honest prayer. It was a prayer of reality. But summing it up in terms of what sort of a prayer it was, we can say that it was a prayer of acknowledgement, acknowledging that he was in the wrong, but also acknowledging God himself, acknowledging God's will, God's sovereignty, but it is also a prayer of confession. So once this man called Jonah has acknowledged his sinfulness, has acknowledged his disobedience, and then has acknowledged God and his will, he therefore confesses his sin. And after confessing his sin, he now commits himself to do the Lord's work. He says, I will pay what I vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. In other words, what Jonah is doing at the moment, when he says, I will pay that I have vowed, he is simply saying, Lord, I'm through with running now. I will no longer run away from you and from the task before me. He is resolved, even when he has the freedom outside the belly of the fish, that he will not run away. He is changed, as it were. This man is simply saying, you called me to be a prophet, and I will deliver your message when and wherever you tell me to go. Wherever you lead, I will go. Beloved friends and brethren, the prayer of Jonah is a reminder to you and me that folly sometimes overtakes us as God's children. Folly sometimes runs the way we behave as Christians, where we think that this is the right thing to do. But it is not. This prayer is the positive part of Jonah's life that we need to start emulating. Having a mindset of God, so to speak. Knowing that you have been called to preach the gospel. Beloved friends, if 3/4 of us at Lusaka Baptist Church avoided the sin of this man called Jonah, we are not going to be struggling with evangelism. We are not going to have a mentality that bars people from coming to LBC, a mentality that indeed does not make it easy for people to be exposed to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, in the third place, after this man prays, after his mind has been worked on, his heart has been worked on, after this man is resolved that he's going to be an evangelist, led by God, swift to share the word of God, we see in verse 10 the change of situation. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Verse 10 gives us hope. Verse 10 paints a different picture. Verse 10 is actually the opposite of this man. This man who had a negative attitude, who was in such a place, now to a man who is resolved to go out and who is free. This, in the third place, is the result of Jonah's prayer. What do we see here? God accepted Jonah. And if we go further on in chapter 3, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to eat the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh. God accepted him. No wonder he gave him the second chance. God accepted him because we know that he even delivered him from prison, from the belly of a fish. God, as we see here, renewed Jonah's call. God renewed his call on Jonah's life and gave him a second chance to carry out God's will. There are so many people we see in the scriptures who behaved like Jonah. Those who were reluctant to go and preach God's word. And yet the Lord gave them a second chance. Beloved friends, this particular point that he gave him a second chance to go and preach the gospel is indeed a positive lesson for us to see that though we may have been like Jonah, indeed we can be used of the Lord. Once we repent of our sin, indeed he is going to use us. God uses men who are imperfect, men who may have difficult backgrounds and past. Moses was a murderer, according to Exodus chapter 2 and verse 12. Consider Mark. He abandoned Paul and Barnabas on a mission trip for that matter. Acts chapter 15 and verse 38. But God restored him and used him in a great way. 2 Timothy 4:11. Look at David. He messed up in a mighty way, in a big way, but God still used his life for his glory. This is not to support those who are doing wrong things and taking for granted the grace of God, but it is to show that the God that we serve is a God who gives the second chance. In application, God can renew his call upon your life today. You can minister again. You can be involved in personal evangelism. You can be involved in the next set of evangelism in November, the Lord permitting. But you can still do evangelism on your own. You may have been like Jonah, but there is hope for you. As we conclude, we must remember the following. And these are lessons for our evangelistic efforts and our Christian life in general. These are lessons about God. Because a number of us do not do things simply because we have put God aside. We do not serve simply because our will and priorities are before God. But listen to this. You cannot fight God. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. This man wanted to fight God. He wanted to fight the omnipotent, but he couldn't. And God just held him against the wall to show him that he was more powerful. You cannot run away from God like he did. God is omnipresent. He ran away and went to a far off place. There, as he's right in the middle of the sea, God is present. For those who may have been running away from evangelism, from serving God, you cannot run away from him. He is omnipresent. You cannot teach God about how he should save people. He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. You cannot think that you are kinder than God, or you know what is the best treatment of sinners. You cannot do that because your mind is not as big as God's. You cannot control God. control his mercy, how he reaches out to people, because he's sovereign. He is a sovereign God. He does as he pleases. While he wants those men to be punished because of their sin, he wants them to come to the saving grace, saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved friends and brethren, immediately we start thinking God is doing something wrong. Just know that you are the one who is in the wrong. Immediately you start contradicting God, just know that you are off tangent. This is the lesson. You cannot accuse God of any fault, of any incompetence, as it were. He is a perfect God, a God without blemish, a God without mistake in his reasoning, in his actions. This is the kind of God that you serve. Why are we saying this? Simply because it was Jonah against God. And what is the character of God? What are the attributes of God? These are the attributes of God. Therefore, he stands no chance whatsoever to oppose God. Therefore, we must say this. Submit to the Lord's will in this area of evangelism. Submit to his will. And what is the will? The will of God is that you can be the mouthpiece of God. The will is that you share God's word with the lost. This is the responsibility of every believer, to share God's word. Submit to his will in this area of evangelism. But also repent of your rebellion. Maybe this rebellion may not be as clear as Jonah's. Maybe it is a silent rebellion. You know, that rebellion of not showing up. That rebellion of not praying for lost souls. That rebellion of not appreciating the month of evangelism. That rebellion of thinking the missions team is nothing. That rebellion of not being involved in the urban churches, these churches we have planted. That rebellion, which is silent, it is inside. You know it. It is your God. You cherish it. You don't broadcast it, but it is there. It is deep seated, deep rooted. It is there. You are on a journey to some other place, not Nineveh, to Tarshish. You are on that journey, and you are seated this morning, and you know it. You are on that journey. You have paid the fare to run away from the presence of God, and you know it. You have not repented of your sins. You are still on your journey to Tarshish. Beloved friends, brethren, the issue of evangelism is serious. No matter how you look at it, it is serious because God wants men to be saved. It is serious, and as you can see from Jonah's story, it was serious business. The Lord did not take it kindly that he ran away from that responsibility. I pray that this evening, even though we are going to the close of the month of evangelism, that we'll be encouraged to take part in so many ways. That come the elders' quarter, this evangelism will be sounding, resounded, and that we'll be energized to be part of it. Jonah is a good story for us to reflect on how each one of us, small, big, old, young, have fared in terms of evangelism. Amen.